A first checkup on the cost of healthcare reform.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. This morning, the government published its first healthcare spending report since Congress passed the big overhaul this spring. And the study says initially, health reform will cost more, though not much more, than we're spending now. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The report says the new healthcare law will only add 0.2% to the nation's healthcare costs over the next 10 years. John Poizel is an economist for the government's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which authored the report. He says government payments to hospitals will be lower because of their improved productivity.
So it effectively will reduce the payments to the providers by, we estimate, roughly 1% on average.
But Poizel says in 2014, when most provisions of healthcare reform go into effect, healthcare costs will increase sharply. More people will be insured and will take advantage of their benefits. But in 2015, healthcare inflation is expected to be more subdued because of an emphasis on wellness and better patient management. Ken Thorpe teaches health policy at Emory University.
If we really dig in and do a better job of preventing disease and managing chronically ill patients, we'll end up spending less than what's projected here.
Thorpe says chronic diseases are key drivers of healthcare inflation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Goldman Sachs has been fined following fraud allegations. Again, this time it happened in the UK. The British financial regulator has slapped a $31 million fine on the investment bank. Joining us live, Marketplace's London Bureau Chief, Stephen Beard. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
What is Goldman being fined for now?
Well, this is connected with a fraud case against Goldman in the US earlier this year. You may recall the case. The bank was accused of misleading its customers over complex mortgage-backed securities. They sold these securities without telling investors the securities had been selected by a hedge fund that was betting the securities would fail.
Right.
Well, Goldman paid out $500 million, you may recall, to settle that case in the U.S.
I do recall a $500 million fine for that here in the U.S., but a $31 million fine in the U.K.?
Yes. Well, in fact, the Brits are fining the bank for something different, not for the fraud, but for failing to tell the British authorities that the bank was under investigation for fraud in the US. It's about disclosure. And it is a pretty severe rebuke, this here. I mean, $31 million is a record fine for the British regulator. Goldman also possibly faces further trouble over this case from a different quarter, from investors. Here's Peter Thal-Larsen of the financial website Breaking Views.
There is still the outstanding question of whether the investors who lost money on this transaction that Goldman arranged will seek compensation from Goldman Sachs.
And some of the biggest losers on that transaction are here in Europe, among them the Royal Bank of Scotland, now mostly owned by the British taxpayer, and some German banks. Now, if they do claim compensation, it's likely to be much more, very much more than the $31 million. These investors lost hundreds of millions of dollars on that deal.
Okay, Marketplace's London Bureau Chief, Stephen Beard, thanks a lot.
Okay, Bill.
And let's stay in Europe now as we do the numbers. Stocks are up about 0.5% in London, Frankfurt, Paris. News of a successful bond sale by Portugal has eased worries over European debt. Asian stocks were mostly higher, too. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up less than 0.5%, 46 points, to close at 10,387.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
After all we've been through, you probably don't want to hear that another bubble is growing. But some economists say that's what's happening with U.S. Treasury bonds. Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell sat down with my colleague Jeremy Hobson, and they talked about whether the investor rush to the supposed safety of bonds is creating the next bubble.
So you think investors are still really nervous?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. Take a look at U.S. Treasury yields. 10-year bonds, 2.6%. 30-year bonds, 3.7%. Investors around the world are still putting a lot of money into the bluest of the blue chip securities, the full faith and credit of the federal government. And by the way, so much money is flocking to the U.S. that there's a lot of concern about a bond bubble.
Well, is it a bond bubble?
Well, it has some of the classic signs of being a bubble. You know, people don't care about yield. They want safety at all costs. There's a mass psychological element at work.
Well, obviously, this whole bubble debate gets economists excited. But what about you and me, Chris? Should we care if it's a bubble or if it isn't a bubble?
No, I doubt it. You're absolutely right. If you're interested in this debate, go online. Economists are just fighting it out tooth and nail. But for savers, for you and me, here's the thing. Bonds are risky. They are truly risky. I mean, spin out any scenario you want. You know, the fact of the matter is these interest rates are very low. You're not getting paid much money. And at some point, this economy is going to start growing. Now, when this economy starts growing, a healthy economy will drive up interest rates. If the economy starts growing a little bit, but we have a lot of inflation, that will drive up interest rates. All the risk is that interest rates are going to go up.
But you also just said bonds are risky. Where are ordinary people supposed to put their savings? Stocks?
Now, let's not go that far. This is your safe money. Yes, you're rational. You want to have a little bit of money that you know is going to be there the next year, the next month. So how about short-term U.S. Treasury bills? Stick to the short end of the market. When interest rates start climbing, and at some point they will, you'll participate in those higher rates.
Okay. Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, today's the 120th birthday of Colonel Sanders, not the logo, the human. Harlan Sanders was born today in 1890, and if you didn't know he was a real person, you're like most young people. KFC says its research shows most Americans under 25 don't know Sanders was an actual Kentucky restaurateur. The company's doing a PR push to save the colonel from the obscurity bucket. Apparently, the company, now known as KFC, just thinks there's still value in its Kentucky history. Just not in the word Kentucky. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.